here we go, another episode of Delighting in the Disciplines, and this time we are all over one of our favorite ones. I don't know, we're like rats on a piece of pizza or something in the alleyway. We are just excited about this topic because we are talking fellowship, and here you are with an extrovert and an introvert talking about how we love and engage in the discipline of fellowship. So hope this helps you walk out this discipline in your life.
Hello and welcome to the Fathom Beyond Sunday podcast. I am Christina Scott, here with lead pastor of Fathom Church, Kyle Nelson.
Awesome. We're going to have a fun conversation about one of our favorite topics today.
It is. We're back with a spiritual discipline of engagement. Another habit of activity. And this one is like way high on my list of favorites from our entire list, like from the 20.
Yeah.
This one's like way up at
the
top.
How many there are? There are 20.
Yeah. I mean, 20 that we're doing.
Okay.
I'm sure that's not an exhaustive list,
yeah,
but
for sure.
We're doing 20.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. We just like the cat's out of the bag. When you see episode 20, there's one more because we did an intro, right?
On,
so yeah. 21 in this season.
Cool.
But yeah, so out of the 20, this is like top tier for me. We're going to talk today about the discipline of fellowship.
And it's one that has grown on me as an introvert, I would not say I'm a full fledged like end of the spectrum introvert, but I am on a shade or two
right.
in the direction of introversion.
Right.
Lots of people and the parties exhaust me, and I get fueled up by more private, intimate environments. So, yeah, the fellowship thing had to grow into me, but it grew through really understanding just the beauty of it by doing it and by just seeing that it's kind of a big plan, big part of God's plan for us in this world. And so for whatever images you have of the word fellowship,
mm-hmm.
we're going to break that down and hopefully go deeper and help you embrace this in a deeper way.
Yeah, so it's funny because for me, fellowship, you have from the stage called it like a churchy word.
Yeah, I think it is a churchy.
And you think it's
is
a
it
churchy
not?
Word. No, and I'm not saying it isn't. Here's the thing, right? It's different words can be churchy for different people.
Yeah.
Right? So for you, that one's a churchy word. But for me, fellowship is just like, it just felt like such a normal word. Like it's just such a normal part of life.
I just don't hear like non-believers saying, let's just go out and have some fellowship together. I don't know.
Maybe. Maybe.
But churches have fellowship halls, you
yes,
know what I mean?
Do.
Things like that.
Yes, know? They do. And that is, fellowship isn't necessarily happening in the fellowship hall. Like what's happening in the fellowship hall is a meal. Like,
meal. Right. And so we have these ideals.
It's not a mess hall though. They can't call it that in a church.
Or churches have like fellowship time, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's where we shake each other's hands.
Which is also not fellowship.
Or food. Again, not fellowship, right? So we have all these mm-hmm. ideals about what it is. Is it just talking with people and like is it a mingling
right.
Mixer
no.
of some sort? All right. So
right.
let's dig
right.
in. What is fellowship? Because it's a discipline of engagement.
Right. So and fellowship is not just not mingling. It's not just being around people. It's being with people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just being around people. It's literally the engaging, right? So I know like that's so on the nose, but like it's engaging with people and knowing them and being known by them.
And I would say, just to take it one step further, I would say it is when we are with people and like we're communing with God.
Absolutely.
And we understand that it's actually spiritual in nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it can be a meal with people that we are with,
mm-hmm.
but that we step into that moment and like, I'm with believers and this fellowship is a shared communion that we have, shared participation with God and his great mission. And there's a real richness that comes out of it that the shaking hands in the middle of church and the fried chicken meal after church doesn't do certainly for me, but
right.
that doesn't even do for an extrovert.
Right.
It does something deeper and
right.
more rich you know, in our spiritual life.
Yeah. I think there are, meals can help break down the barriers that we put up to mm-hmm. fellowship. Right. So maybe that's one of the reasons that we call these a fellowship hall, or that's one of the reasons that so often food and fellowship go together. Yeah. But food doesn't equal fellowship.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
For sure.
But like, what are some of those, right? What are some of those barriers that we put up between ourselves and engaging in real fellowship, like engaging in real, like what we around here don't even really use the word fellowship anymore, right? We use koinonia.
We use the Greek word koinonia, which is all throughout the New Testament. I encourage you just to do a little word study on koinonia for realsies.
Yeah.
And look through the New Testament and just see all the beautiful ways that this is to be abiding in our lives as Christians. Acts 2:42 is a good, mm-hmm. decent place to start. Just it's the church, early church was devoted to it. Devoted to the apostles' teaching, to prayer, to the breaking of bread, and to fellowship. So, it's this Greek word koinonia.
Yeah.
So your question was,
what are our barriers? Like, what is it that we, when we are not wanting to engage in real koinonia fellowship, what are these things that like put up between ourselves and fellowship?
I think it's an individualistic worldview.
Oh, certainly.
I think that's a big one.
Absolutely.
Like we actually come in and our view of the church is I need to come and get something, mm-hmm. like for me.
Mm-hmm.
I need this for my week.
For sure.
You know, and it's a very individualistic view, very selfish view of our spiritual life.
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus taught us to pray our Father.
Yeah.
Right? So what does it look like for us to move away from that individualistic thinking that we're looking to get to? I'm going to, one, bring worship to the Lord,
mm-hmm.
you know, first and foremost, as I gather with other believers. But then what kind of spiritual gift do I have in me that I can use to build up the body?
Yeah.
And look around and experience the beauty of their gifts building me up and encouraging me, whatever those might be. So individualistic worldview yeah. is my first one.
Well, and I think that is that has actually been culturally pervasive for years and years and years, right? Like hundreds of years from the beginning of America. Like, I mean, we can go back way further than that.
Yeah, I'll give you a New Testament example here. Yeah, for sure.
But like, I just like in my head, as you were talking about this individualistic worldview, my head went to the essay Self-Reliance by Ralph Waldo Emerson,
mm-hmm.
where he's like, nothing, like every person comes to understand that there is nothing in this world that's any good, that they'll ever get any good from anything other than tilling the ground that's theirs to till, kind of thing like that. And I'm reading this and going, where's grace in that? Where is the free gift of salvation in that? Where's all these things, right? So, but these are, quote unquote, the transcendentalists, the Ralph Waldo Emersons, the Henry David Thoreaus, that were culturally like huge impact on Americans,
mm-hmm.
And like the spread of America, right? Like this whole like Western expansion and all of these things. Like this is what's being published. It's you and only you. You're the only person you can count on. And that's so it's false.
Yeah.
It's not true.
Yeah.
Hey, let's hear the New Testament.
Yeah. I thought about this passage in 1 Corinthians 11, I believe it is, where Paul is teaching on the Lord's Supper, and he's saying when you come together, some of you guys are not coming together in the right spirit,
mm-hmm.
because you're just focused on yourself.
Right.
And you're getting drunk on wine, you're having your little parties beforehand, and you're coming full, and you're just being selfish. And he's calling them to really have everybody in view. Have those who you've had this big party, and you've ate and you've drank before, but then there's some among us who are in poverty,
mm-hmm.
and don't have that.
Right.
And you are just, you're taking it lightly, and he's calling them out on it. And says, "Hey, you need to remember to kind of check yourself before you wreck yourself."
Yes,
you need to quote.
It's holy quote.
Yeah. No, you need to search your heart. You need to, each person should examine his heart. And I think one of the things that he means by that is like, we need to make sure we have an us view in this, not just a me view in this. And certainly, you know, any resentment or bitterness or unforgiveness we might have in our heart or sin that must be dealt with, that can be certainly a part of it. But the context of everything he's saying really has to do with about this radical selfishness that is making its way to the Lord's Supper.
Right.
That had to be addressed.
Yeah.
So, and in fact, sometimes in the New Testament, not all the time, but the word koinonia is also translated for communion. It's the same word.
Right.
So the word fellowship and the word communion or community or participation, it gets used. So it's really that ideal, this kind of amalgamation of all these words.
Yeah.
Is this life that we have in Christ together that is shared participation with God.
Yeah. So I think another barrier that we can have, certainly an individualistic worldview straight out of the gate, but also I think there are people who like have been hurt by fellowship, right? Like they were known, they let themselves be known. Mm. And then that was weaponized or what have you. They were hurt by people who they thought they were in fellowship with, or sometimes they were the one who did the hurting. And then they just don't want to like get back to that place. What's the right? We want this like give me the 3-step process of how to get over being hurt in community, how to get over being hurt by fellowship. But like that doesn't exist.
Yeah. I don't know who said it, but you know, the same, you know, hand that hurts us heals us, you know, that type of idea, the same, you know, place that, you know, kind of turned us away. It may be, you know, maybe not the same place, but the church, you know, that God uses him, it's probably gonna be fellowship that he'll use to heal it.
Right.
You know, and there's no way, you know, towards that, that doesn't involve at some point risking it again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's at some point, you know, you have to move through a place of forgiveness and healing in your own self to get the courage, frankly, to muster up. And I think, again, in this idea of shared participation, it's what connects us all is the same. It's one spirit, Ephesians says. Like there is one spirit and one God that is in us. And so we're one in Christ, right? And so when I'm operating from that spiritual reality, that is real.
Mm-hmm.
When I have made that my mental and like my heart game, and like I'm in that place already, then it's a little bit easier. I feel like it's that same spirit of God that brings me that courage to unite myself, not just in word, but in deed, you know, to enter into this vulnerable state once again and trusting the Lord to, you know, to guide me in wisdom through it.
Yeah. As you were saying that, it made me think about, so my son has food allergies and I happen to be part of a very large community. Like in real life, I do in real life community with a lot of people who have food allergies. And so one of the things, like sort of an experimental thing is to challenge, like to do these challenges, you know, under a doctor's supervision, under the supervision of a physician, where they are actually, they take in a very small amount of the thing that they are allergic to, right? The thing that has hurt them in the past is they do take in this very small amount under a doctor's care. And over time, many people are able to tolerate more and more and more to the point of being healed from their allergy, right?
Yeah.
And so as you were saying that, I'm sitting there thinking of God as our physician, that like you can go a little, like you can toe back into it as he is guiding you. And then there's more, you can handle a little more and a little more until he has, you know, healed some of those broken places and you can fully jump into it. But the idea, like no one would ever, no physician would ever say, okay, you're allergic to peanuts. I want you to eat this entire peanut butter sandwich in front of me, or like scoop out a jar of peanut butter in front of me. That's not what they're doing. And so when we talk about fellowship too, it's not about diving into huge group okay, everyone, I must know, be known by everyone and everyone must know me. Mm-hmm. That's really not what fellowship is. It's not about the large group. Like some of those things that as an introvert might exhaust you always. Like it's actually, that doesn't make you a bad Christian mm-hmm. that large groups exhaust you. People like extroversion is not the key to good Christianity.
Yeah, for sure.
Like yeah. period.
Yeah.
But it's not, right? It's not that big, large group, but allowing a small group like to fully know you and to be fully known by.
Yeah, and that's the difference from even the full gathering, like all the body of believers, like getting together, like our church on Sunday morning. You know, I think there's a call to go beyond that, mm-hmm. you know, into a deeper level of fellowship. Yes, let's come together, let's gather, let's worship together with the body. But then let's engage in environments like what we call our anchor communities around here to know one another, to be known in a deeper way. And in that way, we are able to love one another. We're able to receive each one another's gifts,
yeah.
And really be encouraged and built up as the body of Christ and share. And really share in this great big, you know, participation and communion we have with God. And it is a joy to be shared indeed. So,
yeah, there's this great quote by Dallas Willard, which we've quoted through several of the Delighting in the Disciplines, several of this series. But he says, "The diverse gifts or graces of the Spirit, all of which are needed in some measure by each person from time to time, are distributed among the separate members of the body of Christ, the church. The unity of the body rightly functioning is thus guaranteed by the people reciprocating in needs and ministries." This is the part I just love. "There are no oughts or shoulds or won't you pleases about this. It is just a matter of how things actually work in the new life."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's some song, I forget, that we started singing here. I forget which one it is, but it says something about like death being the beginning of resurrection life. Mm-hmm. And I get what it's trying to say, but really the resurrection life like starts.
Yeah.
Before that, it really begins now, right?
Eternity starts now.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So yeah, that's a good one.
And that's something you've said from the stage not that long ago, is that one of the few things that we get to take into mm-hmm. eternity is our relationships.
Yeah.
Right? So like, I'm not going to take my Android phone to heaven with me.
It might not make it to next year. Let's be real.
Yeah. Right. So I'm not going to take my phone or my Nikes or what have you, but I am going to get to take my experiences and my relationships. And so, right. So much of what we do in the new life in Christ here on earth is practicing for what heaven looks like. Yeah. And we are in full communion, not just with God, but with one another mm-hmm. in our picture in Revelation. Like if Revelation gives us any semblance of understanding of what heaven looks like, it is in full communion with God and with his people.
Yeah. And I think there is, what you were just saying, just that picture of the full reality of that. I think it starts, we've just got to go there. We've got to go there spiritually in our mind and know that like the ground's level for the cross, like there is a spiritual unity. We can have the same interactions we're having now, but tuned in spiritually, and they become like fellowship. Mm-hmm. We're engaged in this, mm-hmm. this discipline of, and truly can delight in it, you know, and enjoy it. And I think sometimes from us going from, I'm just kind of going through the motions to, okay, now I'm engaged in this mm-hmm. discipline. And this is one that I would say among them are a part of the core exercises, the core habits. This would be among those, like study of God's word, you know, where, you know, some of them we said, yeah, it's going to kind of ebb and flow, journaling, mm-hmm. you know, maybe probably not a part of the core of spiritual disciplines, but
certainly silence is going to ebb and flow because we're going to communicate.
Right, for sure. But this is one that's a part of that core routine of our life. And so it's vital, it's imperative that we are engaged in it, mm-hmm. or else we will find ourselves disconnected, isolated, lonely, and really, frankly, missing out on all the beauty of this great participation with one another. And that is relational, it's spiritual, it's emotional, it's physical in nature, of it's very practical.
Yeah.
It has financial components to it, right? To share with what we mm-hmm. have. That's a part of that koinonia spirit. So yeah, it's quite robust. And when we see it works its way into all of the fabric of our life, in that I really don't count much to just be my own. It's God's, and it, therefore it's a part of his kingdom and my brothers and sisters that are a part of that kingdom. Yeah. So
I love that.
It's a game changer.
That. I think, you know, that the idea, like, fellowship in its truest sense is we won't regret spending time in it. Like, we're not ever going to regret, oh, I spent too much time in fellowship. It's not like, oh, I stayed too late at that party, right? It's, oh, okay, yeah, you can stay too late at a party. Mm-hmm. you can indulge too much at a meal. But I don't think that we can do that, like, with what true fellowship is. There's not like, oh, I definitely regret spending mm-hmm. that much time in fellowship.
Yeah. Right? Like, you were talking about the eternity thing, the eternity component. And, I think we live in such a fractured and broken reality that, you know, it can kind of paint it like a utopian picture mm-hmm. here of all fellowship abiding, but realizing a bunch of messy people,
for you know, sure.
who are not perfect and who are going to get on your nerves at times and who, you know, you're going to be, tired of at certain points. And, I think there's this beautiful quote that was really about marriage in Tim Keller's book, The Meaning of Marriage. He talked about this imagery of a husband and wife recognizing each other in heaven, and one spouse saying to the other, I always knew that you could look like this. And it's just that this kingdom picture, this hopefulness that we have for one another, of these relationships that we get to take into eternity with us. And so I think we not only just endure those mm-hmm. on this side, but we have a way of sanctifying one another, that right. the Spirit is actually sanctifying us through the brokenness.
Right.
of the body, which is quite interesting, like when it comes to, like, love is patient, right? And so having to be patient with somebody you're waiting on, you know, today for whatever it might be, yeah. God's actually sanctifying you through his body.
Yeah.
And so I'm not saying, like, just show up late to help your brothers and sisters out, but but I'm saying when it's happening, you can still delight in that.
Right.
And know that there's a participation that even in this brokenness, It ends in it's culminated in a perfect reality that we'll get to be witness to. And I think the more that we know others and allow others to know us, I think that just the more joy that's building up for us in heaven.
Yeah. This is one that we could go all day, but we're not. We're gonna stop it there. Yeah. And truly hope that this is sparking conversations in for your sure, life,
yeah.
right? Hoping that this is sparking conversations that you're taking through the week, and that, you know, maybe this fellowship conversation is the conversation that starts fellowship in your world. You want to talk about it and say, like, okay, what does this look like to you? Or, hey, they never even talked about XYZ. And so, yeah, that's good. Like, we want you to be talking about it. And so give us some feedback. Let us know how it's going in your world. You can always email that to info@fathom.church, or you can text the keyword fathom to 97,000 and follow the prompts to get and stay connected with us. We love you guys. We're praying for you. We're thrilled that you're sticking it out with us here and delighting in the disciplines. And we'll be back with you next week with another discipline of letting go. Nailed it.
Love you.